morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the May 18th, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. DJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on the
Good morning. This is CJ Rotella. The following meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating in the call this morning, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask callers participating to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel speaking. All members of the Board of Commissioners and special guests are appearing in person this morning in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Members of the public can access the meeting via teleconference or attend in person according to their preference. If the teleconference portion is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chairman Pryor will preside this morning and will be voting by voice vote. Meeting participants, please state your name prior to speaking each and every time. With that, I'll turn it over to Chairman Pryor to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Good morning. Stephen Pryor here. I'm calling the meeting to order at 9:45 a.m. And I'm going to ask Carol to conduct a roll call to kick us off here.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioner McAllister?
Here.
Commissioner Barry?
Here.
Commissioner Orr?
Here.
Commissioner Pryor?
Here.
Commissioner Daniel?
Here.
Commissioner Diosa?
Here.
Commissioner Designee Kripal?
Here.
Thank you. So before we commence with this very lengthy agenda, so happy our partners are here, I'd like to welcome you, Governor. We've been so happy you could join us today as we tackle a shared priority of creating more affordable housing in our state. And thanks to the millions that you've invested, folks here today are going to produce over 1,400 homes across our state. So please, a few remarks from
you. Well, thank you, Carol. Thank you for leading the charge here along with Secretary Pryor and the board. Members, I want to just thank the commissioners for the work that you've been doing in partnership with our administration to tackle housing challenges facing our state of Rhode Island. And I also want to thank the Rhode Island Housing staff and the staff of the newly created Department of Housing, which is growing.
Yes, sir.
Right? Which is growing, for their tireless efforts. I want to thank the Rhode Island Housing staff again. This work is not done without that work, and I know working over the last few years now, in particular with some of the rental assistance programs and the helping out with the energy, and I know how hard you work, Carolyn. I know, and I want to just recognize that again.
Thank you.
It's no secret that Rhode Island has housing challenges at multiple levels. And for Rhode Island to be an attractive place to live and work and raise a family, we must address the availability of quality housing. That means everything from providing supports to those experiencing homelessness to increasing affordable housing to ensuring we build more workforce housing for the middle class. Historically, our state has underinvested in housing. We need to invest more, and we need to get more built. Together with our partners in the General Assembly, we've taken action to address that. Both the Speaker and the Senate President are champions on this as well, and I believe that that's one of the reasons that we're making the progress that we're making at the state level is through the partnership with the General Assembly leadership. First, we created a permanent funding stream for affordable housing. Second, I was proud to propose and the General Assembly passed $250 million once-in-a-generation investment in our state's housing stock. And we're here to talk about the work that's happened since last budget was passed less than a year ago and talk about significant progress because of the work that has been made, not only with those who are sitting with me up here, but also those who are sitting, all the other people who are providers and the people who are working to really make this happen. In just a few minutes, this board will be voting to award more than $100 million to support the creation and preservation of over 1,400 units of housing across 13 municipalities. I've said this many times, this is a 39 city and town effort, and we got to make sure that each and every category that needs to be addressed in housing, that our communities, all communities, share in that help, in that work. Nearly $83 million of that comes from our $250 million budget investment in housing. Today is a big deal for Rhode Island, and I thank you all for being part of the momentum. I'm often asked what's happening with the $250 million that was approved last July by the General Assembly. So I want to close with this update. Rhode Island Housing is administering over $200 million of this historic investment. That includes $155 million reserved for housing production and preservation, $30 million for down payment assistance, and $20 million for community revitalization. As of today, if you vote to approve these projects, nearly $115 million of these resources will be committed. I also want to highlight the fact that as we make these investments around the state, whether it's in housing or in our fisheries or in our ports or in our health labs or the work that's going to be done at the State House, we're putting people to work. And I'm going to repeat again how important it is, and I've reinforced this as recently as yesterday, Brian, that this work needs to happen, and it needs to happen as quickly as we possibly can, in a way that we're getting the efficiencies as well as the quality that we want Rhode Island to see. So we're putting people to work. And when we're talking about an upcoming, maybe an economic downturn, the very best way that we can address that is by putting people to work in good paying jobs. As long as we got people working and bringing home an income, they're buying the pizzas at the local pizza shop, right? That's how it works. And so the work that's being done today is a piece of that, an important piece of that. So I want to thank this board. I want to thank those individuals that are going to be providing the guidance and the work in all our communities that we're talking about today. With that, thank you for your time this morning and taking up this important package of projects. Thank you.
And Governor, this represents your progress. We very much appreciate your investment and your support. We're going to move on with the business of the meeting. I'm going to kick off the meeting in earnest and then offer some remarks and get into the business of the meeting. So I'm going to start with board action number 2, approval of the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on April 20th. Please pull it out and refresh your recollection, and then I'm going to entertain a motion to approve. Is there someone ready to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'll second that. Stephen Gouster.
Made and seconded. Corey, you got the record. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is Corinne Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on April 20th, 2023, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
Thank you, Corey. I just want to underscore the point the Governor made in kicking off this very auspicious, very momentous meeting. If we approve these items today, Commissioners, we will be authorizing and enabling the production and preservation of 1,400 new units. It's important for us to note these units will not sprout out of the ground overnight. It will require that these projects move to their closing, that they break ground, that they move through their construction process. So full completion is, of course, years away. We know that. And as we witness these projects advancing, we need to keep moving. That's been the governor's mandate to us. That's what we must do, together with Carol and James and the entire Rhode Island housing team that's doing such a fine job, and I want to thank the commissioners here as well. That's what we need to do. As pertains to, for example, the challenges of homelessness, we can't simply wait for these units to be built, even though they do contain permanent supportive housing and truly affordable housing that will help to enable Rhode Islanders to stay or to enter into housing stock. We must progress with emergency solutions that will enable more Rhode Islanders to come indoors. In addition, we can't rest on our laurels of producing these 1,400 units and preserving these units. We must move on to do more. That's why under Governor McKee, along with Speaker Shikarchi and Senate President Ruggiero, we're doing more. Specifically under the governor's budget amendment, we propose the state's first ever low-income housing tax credit that would be a companion to the workhorse federal 4% and 9% LIHTC credits. That's crucial so that we can continue to fill project gaps and move projects forward such as those today. In addition, there's $29 million in the governor's budget amendment with gratitude to the governor, $29 million more on top of the 250 and the 30 for homelessness, $29 million more for, in the main, housing production and preservation. So we've got to keep the momentum going, and that's what we'll do. There's no doubt that this governor, Dan McKee, is profoundly committed to making progress on the housing front. We need all of your help. Once again, to Carol and James and the entire Rhode Island housing team, I would argue among the best in the business in the United States, we're going to keep getting it done. So thank you once again, Carol and James and everybody. And let's move on with the agenda. I'm going to introduce James.
Chairman, could we pause 1 minute?
Yes, please.
The governor needs to leave, and if folks want to transition out, if we could pause.
Please. Please. Thank you, Governor. This is ours?
Yeah.
Ours?
That is ours.
As soon as folks are settled back in, we'll acknowledge those commissioner designees who've entered the table, and then we'll restart the meeting.
Give a chance.
Sure. I'll come up here too.
I think we're all set, Chairman.
All right, we're back. I want Corey to make sure that we have for the record designees who've entered and assist us.
Yes. Acknowledging that Commissioner Designee Riley Connaughton is replacing Brian Daniels, Director of Administration, who has stepped out.
Anything else? I think we're good.
Thank you.
All right, now back to the agenda. So we're at agenda item 4, and I am going to introduce James Comer, Deputy Executive Director, to present the item.
Good morning. This is James Comer presenting the monthly external charitable donations and contributions. This is something we routinely do as a matter of course to support our good partners in the work that we do. Today we have three items for approval. In May, the Rhode Island Coalition to End Homelessness Courage event, we sent two staff members at a cost of $48 each, or $80 in total. Also in May, Crossroads Women Helping Women event on May 11th, we sent six staff folks at a total price of $750. And the upcoming Housing Network Rhode Island annual meeting on June 5th, which I should take pains to note is honoring, among others, our very own Ann Berman. That will be on June 5th, and we are sending 12 folks to that event. So these, in total, are $1,550 of charitable donations, all in support of our good partners at events that help them do the work that they do. Any questions?
We need a motion on this item.
So moved, Murray Berry.
For a second.
Second, Stephen Gossett.
All right, Corey, please.
Certainly, this is Corey speaking. All those in favor of approval of external charitable donations and contributions as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
All right. We're at item five. I'm going to be introducing Ann Berman. And this is the approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits, LIHTC, and preliminary approval of financing for Central Street Development, Pawtucket and Central Falls. To you, Ann.
Thank you, Chairman. Just quickly, before we dive into the RFAs, I wanted to just give the board a quick overview of the 9% LIHTC and the larger RFP process. So we did receive 9 applications for 9% credits, seeking over $12 million in credits. We have about 3.2 to allocate. Of the 9 received, 8 passed threshold, and an internal committee, which included Credit Committee Chairman Orth, is recommending 3 projects for the 9% credits. Simultaneously, staff completed the review of the 57 applications, and we are bringing 8 tax-exempt proposals forward for recommendations. And I will note that these 8 projects utilize $83 million of tax-exempt bonds and leverage more than $105 million of LIHTC equity. And I just wanted to take a quick moment to thank the development staff for all of their efforts over the last several months. There's 23 people upstairs who have worked really hard to get through this RFP, and they did a great job. So Central Street. Central Street, the developer is Central Falls Housing Corporation, Pawtucket Central Falls Housing Corporation. I want to acknowledge that Linda Weisinger, the executive director, is here. So this request for action is for preliminary approval of 9%, a reservation of 9% credits, and preliminary approval of a construction loan not to exceed $11 million, of which 3.2 will remain as permanent debt. Central Street is a mixed-use, mixed-income development, 12 scattered sites in both Pawtucket and Central Falls, and it has 3 separate components. There's a new construction component, which will produce 30 units, 21 of which are LIHTC, and 9 will be non-LIHTC, but affordable at 80% of area median income. There's a preservation component, which has 32 units. 22 will be LIHTC, and 10 will be affordable at 80% AMI. And there is a great community facility as part of this. It's a home ownership center and a tech hub, which provides residents with access to, among other things, high-speed internet. There will be housing vouchers and supportive services for the 30% units. And they will be provided through a partnership with Foster Forward for youth aging out of foster care. And in addition to the construction and permanent loans, later on we'll be approving, capital magnet funds, development of affordable housing funds, and middle income funds for this project. And it is worth noting that this was the highest scoring 9% project. So we are pleased to request approval of the LIHTC reservation and preliminary approval of the construction to permanent loan for Central Street.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion and then we can discuss. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion. James Tiosa.
Moved. Is there a second?
I'll second. Kevin Ward.
Moved and seconded. Okay. Questions or comments? Kevin, do you just want to note the process that happened in the credit committee in general, just so folks know that these items have been reviewed just slightly larger audience than usual and understanding
certainly
our protocol?
To,
yes,
Mr. Chairman.
Appreciate it.
So first off, to add to Ann's comment, not only does development staff look through all of these potential transactions, but also Michael and his asset management crew review to make sure operating expenses and income are kind of in line with our general underwriting standards. Then also the design and construction team reviews it for appropriateness of costs and of of overall design. So a lot of people, a lot of different disciplines looking at each of these to make sure that they are feasible from a number of different fronts. And then within the credit committee, the commissioners on the committee review the overall financial structure. We have a good, robust discussion about it. There's a little bit of back and forth. And then in this particular transaction, we unanimously voted to approve.
Yes. Perfect. Very, very helpful. Once again, commissioners, any questions or comments? If not, Corey, enable the vote.
Certainly. All those in favor of the approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for Central Street development in Pawtucket and Central Falls, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
All right. We're at board item six. This is approval of LIHTC and preliminary approval of financing for Rosebrook Commons Middletown. And I'm going to turn it back to Ann.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want to note that Vincent and Derek Messalella from Messalella Development Corporation are here to represent this this action. So this is for preliminary approval of 9% tax credits as well as taxable financing for construction and permanent and a home loan for Rosebrook Commons. As I mentioned, Messalella Development Corporation is the developer. Rosebrook is a mixed-income and a mixed-use development located on Main Road in Middletown. The development will consist of two buildings, and it will have 64 residential units and approximately 23,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground floor of the building. Of the 64 units, 51 will be LIHTC, 13 will be middle-income with rents up to 120% of area median income, and I note that 13 of the units will be affordable to households with incomes below 30% of area median income, and those units will receive operating support from the HPF ELI operating fund. The commercial space is not part of the capital stack you have in front of you. It will be financed separately. And in addition to the tax credits and home loan, this project will also receive an award of middle income and development of affordable housing, too. And I will note that this was the second highest scoring proposal, and we're very pleased to recommend approval for $1,088,685 of 9% credits, as well as $11,895,000 of construction loan, of which approximately 3.6 will remain as senior permanent loan and a $1 million home loan. Happy to answer any questions.
All right. First, I'll take the motion, if I may. Who will make the motion?
I'll make the motion. James Diota.
It's made. Second?
Seconded.
Right, made and seconded. Okay. Questions and comments from the commissioners? Hearing none. Oh, go ahead, Kevin, please.
I'll just... Yep. One comment that was raised at credit committee was the tax credit equity pricing of 89 cents. It's just a little bit lower than we normally see, but I think that the developer is going to go out, bid this, and maybe approve upon that. But otherwise, a fantastic project, mixed income and mixed use. Really excited about it.
Tom, commissioners? Corey.
Yes, all those in favor of the approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for Rosebrook Commons in Middletown, please say aye.
Aye.
For the record, Maria Berry has recused. Any opposed, say nay. With six affirmative votes and one recusal, the motion is approved.
Item seven, approval of reservation of LIHTC and preliminary approval of financing for South Point Commons Westerly. Back to you, Ann.
Thank you. Thank you. The developer here is Dakota Partners, and I note that Roberto Arista and Steve Comiskey from Dakota are here. So this request for action is for, again, approval of a reservation of low-income housing tax credits of $1.2 million, as well as a home loan and, for the first time, a home ARP loan, all for South Point Commons, which is located in Westerly. This was
reminding everyone the ARP loan, what that program is. It's been a
the home ARP, sure. So the home ARP program is a home-like program. It was created by HUD during the pandemic to create housing for extremely low-income households that meet very specific program criteria, and generally speaking, those qualified populations are homelessness or at risk of homelessness, households fleeing domestic violence or human trafficking, and other populations where providing services would prevent the family's homelessness or would serve those with the greatest risk of housing instability. So South Point Commons is a proposed mixed-income development comprised of 72 units, and it's just off Route 1. The improvements will consist of two three-story residential buildings as well as a community building that will have office space, community space, and other project amenities. This project, as mixed income, will serve a range of income levels. There are 16 units for households below 30% of area median income, which will also be supported with HPF ELI funds, and there are 15 market rate units here. This project, in addition to the LIHTC equity and the home loans, will receive an allocation of development of affordable housing funds as well. So in summary, we're requesting approval of $2 million of LIHTC credits and preliminary approval of a $1 million home loan and a $2 million home ARP loan. Happy to answer any questions. I'm trying to be brief. I know we have a long agenda.
Doing a great job. Thank you. I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion. Table.
Is there a second?
Second. James Piosa.
Moved and seconded. Now questions and comments.
Just a quick comment. This is in Westerly. We did Middletown. We did Pawtucket and Providence early. Like, we're really showing, again, Rhode Island housing all across the state. So,
very true. Anything else from anybody?
This is Commissioner Orth. This is a comment that applies to all of the transactions, but the production funds, and I believe that 50% of surplus cash will go to repayment of that funding source.
Yes.
0% interest.
All right, Corey.
This is Corey Myers speaking. All those in favor of the approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits and preliminary approval of financing for South Point Commons in Westerly, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
Board Action 8, preliminary approval of financing for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2, North Kingstown. Once again to Ann.
Thank you. Thank you. The developer here is of Valley Affordable Housing, and I note that Peter Bouchard is here to represent Valley Affordable. So this request for action is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt construction loan in an amount of $7.5 million, a taxable permanent loan of $2 million, and a home loan and a housing trust loan, all for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2. This is a 40-unit new construction project in North Kingston. This project is the second phase of two affordable housing projects within the larger Reynolds Farm property. Peter and his team completed phase one in the spring of 2021. So this proposed project will be restricted to households aged 55 plus, and all of the 40 units will be affordable. I note that 11 of the units will be affordable to households below 30% of AMI, and they will also receive some operating support. These 80 senior housing units completed by Valley Affordable comprise the majority of the affordable housing units, homes, that are required as part of the town's approval of the larger 600-unit Reynolds Farm project, which is located on Post Road in North Kingstown. So the collective capital stack here, in addition to the permanent loan and the tax credit equity, will also include the development of affordable housing funds as well. So we are seeking approval of a preliminary approval of a $7.5 million tax-exempt loan, a permanent loan of $200,000, a home loan of $1 million, and a housing trust fund loan of $1,340,000 for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2.
Very good. Motion, please.
So moved, Marie Berry.
Is there a second?
Seconded, Riley Hennepin.
Questions or comments?
Hearing
Hearing none, straight to the vote. Corey.
This is Corey. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Reynolds Senior Housing 2 in North Kingstown, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Item 9, preliminary approval of financing for Broad Street Homes in Central Falls to UAM.
Thank you. So as Chairman said, we're now moving to Central Falls, and One Neighborhood Builders is here. Jen Hawkins from One Neighborhood to represent the developer. So this request for action is also preliminary approval of a tax-exempt construction loan of $11 million and a permanent loan in an amount not to exceed $825,000 for Broad Street Homes. This is a development that will newly construct 47 apartments on lots that are adjacent to City Hall. I think it's worth noting that the city utilized the site acquisition program to acquire these three properties, which include the former police station and courthouse, a former Dunkin' Donuts that will be demolished, and a parking lot. All of the units will be affordable to households up to 60% of AMI, and six will be set aside for 30% AMI households. The total development cost is approximately $20 million, and as a new construction deal, the capital stack includes significant subordinate debt, which includes the community revitalization program funds, the development of affordable housing funds, and they were lucky enough to receive a federal appropriation that was secured by the congressional delegation in the amount of $2 million. The syndicator here is NEF, and I note they're projecting 93 cents, which is pretty consistent across most of the deals we're talking about today. So we are requesting preliminary approval of $11 million tax-exempt loan, which will be repaid in full at completion, and an $850,000 permanent loan.
Motion, please.
Motion, James Diosa.
Second.
Second,
all right, questions?
I hope the residents will be able to find Dunkin' Donuts.
I know, it's not often that they go out of business.
Anything else for the moment?
This is Kev Forth. Very interesting project. I just want to highlight the bridge loan on this. It's a common feature on all of the 4% transactions, primarily. In addition to the about a $1 million perm on this one?
$850,000.
Okay. About a $10 million bridge loan during construction to help bridge the tax credit equity done so that we can unlock the 4% tax credit equity, essentially, in the transaction. I think it's a very, I'd say, progressive move on our part to do so, and we are taking on some risk to do so. But here in this transaction, I'm happy to see we're not only getting a recourse by the borrower, but we're getting 20% equity at closing, and I believe additional equity is a 50% construction completion point. So finance and development working together to make sure that we can make this happen while also being, you know, watching our and limiting our risk in this. So I'm very happy about this transaction. Look forward to seeing it done.
Thank you, Kevin. Anything else? Very, very good. Corey Whistler.
This is Corey speaking. I believe we have a recusal.
Yes, I'm introducing myself, Maria Berry.
Thank you. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Broad Street Homes in Central Falls, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With one recusal and six affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
On to item 10, the Bethune House, Portsmouth, to you, Ann.
Thank you. We're now back to Aquidneck Island in Portsmouth. Church Community Housing Corporation is the developer, and I note that Christian Belden is here for Church Community Housing. So this request for action is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt construction loan of approximately $2.3 million, of which $3.2 will remain as a permanent first mortgage, a home loan, and a housing trust fund loan for the Ade Bethune House. I will note that this was the fourth highest scoring project in the 9% round. There were not enough credits there were not enough 9% credits, but this was also a very high scoring 4% project. It will consist of a single building with 54 units of age-restricted housing, and they will be developing a new senior center for the town of Portsmouth as part of this project. There will be 6 units at 30% of AMI, and the rest will be affordable up to 60% of AMI. They will also receive some HPF ELI funds for the very low-income units. So the town and church community are going to execute a ground lease for the site, and once the senior center is built as part of this development, the town of Portsmouth will inject $1 million into the transaction and essentially buy back the senior center. So it's a great turnkey project. And in addition to the construction financing we're talking about here, this will also receive capital magnet funds, development of affordable housing funds, and in addition to the home and HTF. So we are seeking approval of a tax-exempt construction loan of $10,284,000, a home loan of $1 million, and a housing trust fund loan of $1 million. Happy to answer any questions.
Motion, please. Is there a second?
Seconded by the council.
Moved and seconded. Any question? Any questions? All right. Very efficient. Very good. Corey, voice vote.
This is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Addie Bassoon House in Portsmouth, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
On to item 11, preliminary approval of financing for Potter's Tigray Apartments in Providence. It will not surprise you that we are turning it back to Ann.
I said I've got a great staff. So this request for action is for a SWAP project, and I note that Carla DeStefano is here representing SWAP. The development is Potter's Tigray, and we are seeking approval of a $9.5 million tax-exempt construction loan and a taxable permanent loan of $500,000. This is a 57-unit development, and it has 2 components. It's located on scattered sites in South Providence. The first component is the preservation of a development that we know as Potter's Avenue. It's an existing tax credit project that is in its post-15-year period. There are 37 apartments ranging in size from 1 to 4 bedrooms, and they are in need of a moderate rehabilitation. The second component is the new construction of 20 apartments and 11 buildings on some scattered sites in and around the Potter's project. These 20 units will range in size from 1 to 3 bedrooms. This tax-exempt construction loan will be 100% affordable, and all of the residents will earn somewhere between 30 and 60% of AMI. There will be an HPF subsidy, HPF ELI subsidy to support the 30% units. This proposal originally came in as 9% credit. For 9% credits, but under our QAP, we only allow 1 project that includes a preservation component, and that was Central Street. So this project was reviewed and scored as 4% deal, and it came in quite high. So in addition to the construction and permanent loan, they will also be using capital magnet funds, development of affordable housing, and CRP funds. So we're recommending approval of a $9.5 million tax-exempt loan and a $500,000 taxable permanent loan for Potter's Tigray.
Great. May I request a motion?
Motion, James Pioza.
Second?
Second,
Frazier. Moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? Hearing none. Corey.
This is Corey Meyer speaking. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Potter's Tigray Apartments in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
On to item 12, preliminary approval of financing for The Avenue in Providence. Ann.
Thank you. So this request for approval is for a preliminary approval of tax-exempt loan in an amount of $15.5 million, of which $3.6 will remain as tax-exempt permanent first mortgage for The Avenue. One Neighborhood Builders is the developer. So this has 2 components, both a new construction and a preservation component. The new construction will produce 39 apartments, ranging in size from efficiency to 3 bedrooms right on Atwells Avenue, for households with incomes between 30% and 80% of AMI. And the parcel of land is at Atwell's near the intersection with Knight Street. The preservation component, which is known as Elmwood Neighborhood Revitalization 2, completed its 15-year compliance period in 2019. It's a family development and is in need of capital improvements to maintain these units for the long term. In the last consolidated round, this development did receive an award of Building Homes Rhode Island, as well as preservation loan funds and an initial allocation of capital magnet funds. The resources being recommended today will complete their capital stack. So the developer, and I will note in this case that the plans and specs are nearly 90% complete, and one neighborhood is aiming to bring this to firm approval in early Q4 of this year. So we're excited to get it closed by the end of the year. So we're recommending approval of a $15.5 million tax-exempt loan, of which $3.6 million will remain as permanent financing. Preliminary approval.
Thank you. I'll take a motion.
Make a motion for approval. This is Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Second.
Second.
Seconded. Questions or comments? I see that Jen Hawkins is here. Thank you for all continuing work on this project through One Neighborhood Builders. Any one question? Hearing none, Corey to the vote.
This is Corey Myers. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Green Avenue in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
And I'm recusing myself.
Thank you. Any opposed, say nay. With one recusal and six affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
All right. On to item 13, preliminary approval of financing for Summer Street Apartments, Providence, the Crossroads Development, and to you, Ann.
Thank you. I will note that Michelle Wilcox is here from Crossroads, Rhode Island, who is the developer of this project.
Welcome, Michelle, and thank you for all of the work.
Absolutely. This request for action is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt loan of $39 million, a lot of numbers here, $39,500,000, of which $9,625,000 will remain as permanent debt. We're also requesting a home loan in an amount of $1 million. Summer Street is the new construction of 176 apartments on a vacant lot that is adjacent to the Crossroads site that we know as the Tower at 160 Broad Street. Upon completion of the new building, the residents currently at the tower will be relocated to the new units, and this will pave the way for rehabilitation and repositioning of the tower. You may recall that the original proposed plan for Summer Street utilized a bifurcated 9%, 4% LIHTC structure, and the developer was awarded 9% credits last year. Subsequent to that, they determined that a single 176-unit 4% development would raise more equity than a bifurcated development. So they've actually returned their 9% credits, and they went back into the pool. The larger single deal reduces the overall amount of soft cost that they need. It reduces the total development cost, and we are projecting, as they are as well, that it will reduce the overall operating costs. All 176 units will be one bedroom, and they will all be available to households at or below 30% of area median income. And all but eight of the units will have an operating subsidy at the that is project-based to the site. I will note that this is a RAD 2 conversion, which is exciting. I think it's the first one we've done, and they will be converting their McKinney-Vento contract into a project long-term project-based rental assistance contract. I do note that the RAD conversion will trigger prevailing wages, which does contribute to some of the higher development costs here. The capital stack is extensive, so I will spare you running through it. But I will note that in addition to this RFP, we are recommending CRP funds as well as development of affordable housing. So by this RFP, we're recommending approval of a $39 million tax-exempt loan, of which $9,625,000 will remain as permanent debt, as well as a home loan of $1 million. Happy to answer any questions.
Well done. Is there a motion?
This is Kevin Orr.
Is there a second?
Second.
Questions about Summer Street Apartments?
I have to recuse.
Okay, thank you.
This is Kevin Orr.
Please.
I'll just make a comment, Mr. Chairman. Ann mentioned the lengthy capital stack, and it might win an award. In addition to other awards, for being just a fantastic project. But I will say, despite that tall stack, it looks like a very solid financial structure. And with the RAD conversion, it should give long-term financial sustainability to the project. So we're very excited to see this. And I believe this is the final piece of funding, too.
This is preliminary approval. This is the full capital stack, and I know that Crossroads is anxious to get this closed before the end of the year, so hopefully we'll be back in short order.
So we hope so.
Thank you.
Great. Anything else from anybody? Corey, let's do the vote.
This is Corey Myers. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Summer Street Apartments in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With two recusals and five affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
We're on to item 14, preliminary approval of financing for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1 in Providence to Ann.
Thank you. Thank you. The developer here is Wind Companies, and I note that Adam Stein is back. Oh, there he is. Large crowd there representing Wind. So this request for action is for preliminary approval of a tax-exempt loan of $11.9 million, of which $3 million will remain as permanent debt. For Lockwood Plaza Phase 1, which is located in Providence. Collectively, Lockwood is a 209-unit development. This phase, which we call Phase 1, is the rehabilitation of 108 units of townhouse housing that's at the site. The remaining units, which is are all part of a high-rise, will be part of a future refinance. The townhouse mix includes 1 to 4 bedrooms, all at 60% AMI, but we note that about 88% of the units actually receive support from Section 8 housing choice vouchers and offer very affordable housing to residents below 50% and many of whom are below 30% of AMI. This development was originally developed as a LIHTC project many years ago, and it's well into the second half of its 30-year compliance period. So the scope of work is extensive interior and exterior grades, interior and exterior upgrades. The developer has partnered with both Rhode Island Housing and Citizens Bank to create an economic mobility program, which is similar to HUD's FSS program, and it will support residents and families to build financial capacity. And this is being funded by a $750,000 contribution of economic opportunity funds from Citizens Bank. So worth noting, it's a great demonstration project. Capital stack here will consist of the construction to permanent loan, the 4% equity, capital magnet funds, development of affordable housing funds, also receiving funds from the City of Providence. The investor is Boston Financial, and I note that they are receiving 99 cents per credit, and I think that's a testimony to Wynn's strength and their relationship with syndicator partners. So therefore, we're recommending approval of an $11.9 million loan, of which $3 million will remain as permanent debt. Happy to answer any questions.
Great presentation. Questions?
Make a motion.
Thank you. There's a motion. Second?
Second is Stephen Kausler.
And seconded. Just one generic point, and one generic question. Noting differing cents on the dollar in the syndication process for our LIHTC tax credits, common phenomenon across the country. What are you seeing as the average or at least the mode here?
Somewhere between 92 and 94 seems to be sort of the average.
Yeah.
Certain projects gender more equity. It might have more CRA capability. It might be based on relationships with developers, location, motivation by the investor. Sometimes they have money they have to invest in a certain location at a time, and that can move the needle one way or the other.
Great. I will note, this is a sidebar in public. in proposing a state LIHTC, we proposed a redemption option which enables that the tax credit would be refundable up to 100 cents on the dollar so that we don't lose any value if it passes in that form. But thank you for that reminder on the federal program, which we can't affect in the same way. It's obviously federally determined. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, Corey, for the motion. For the vote.
Thank you. This is Corinne Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for Lockwood Plaza Phase 1 in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With a unanimous vote, the motion is approved.
We're on to item 15. This is the item firm approval of financing for Copley Chambers 2 and 3. I'm going to introduce Ann for this item, and I'm going to ask Ann and Kevin in this particular instance to comment on the revision that occurred between credit committee and full board pertaining to the developer fee and a savings that was yielded. So thank you, Ann, and in advance to Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you. This is Copley request for action for firm approval for Copley 2 and 3. The developer is Marathon Development, and I note that Harry Angevine is out there somewhere. there he is, the developer for this site. So this is a request. This is firm approval, so it's a little bit more detailed. Tax-exempt financing in an amount not to exceed $23 million, as well as firm approval of a capital magnet fund loan, a acquisition revitalization program loan, community revitalization program funds, and development of affordable housing two funds. This site is across from Classical High School. The proposed development is a ground-up new construction project that will produce 124 apartments and 6,800 square feet of commercial ground floor commercial space on Broad Street. All of the units will be affordable under the low-income housing tax credit program. I will note that this is a conduit transaction in which Citizens Bank will provide the capital for the tax-exempt issuance, and Newmark and Freddie Mac will provide the permanent loan. Housing will not bear any financial risk in this transaction. Since preliminary approval, the developer has entered into an MOU with Providence Community Health Center for the ground floor commercial space. They've secured 8 project-based vouchers from the Providence Housing Authority, and they've secured the financing from Citizens Bank, as well as Newmark, as well as from the Providence Redevelopment Agency. They were also, since preliminary, the original syndicator has dropped out, and they have brought NEF on as the syndicator for this project. So in response to comments from the credit committee, the following changes have been made to the pro forma in concert with the developer. So the overall developer fee has been reduced almost $1 million from $5.67 million to $4.7 million. The deferred fee has increased about $700,000 up to $2.4 million. And the ARP loan has been reduced by $622,150. There were a few other changes made to the pro forma. Most particularly, there was an increase in the construction interest reserve. As we were preparing the board action, at the last minute, the amount of the loan went up, and the additional interest had not been accounted for. So as a result of these changes and further review of the overall cost, we are confident that developer fee is consistent with current guidelines and that the proposed subsidy request is really quite consistent with other new construction, 100% affordable housing developments that we are recommending today. So in total, we're seeking firm approval of a tax-exempt loan of $23 million, a capital magnet fund loan of $750,000, an acquisition revitalization program loan of $1,377,850, a CRP loan of $2 million, and a development of affordable housing two loan in the amount of $1.5 million. Happy to answer any questions.
Very helpful. I'll start the motion first and then ask Kevin for the first set of comments, if I may.
So is there a motion?
So moved, Maria Berry.
Motion, is it seconded?
Seconded, Riley Cummings.
Moved and seconded. Kim, will you just say a little bit more about the process as between the credit committee and the full board? Ann did a good job, but just to say a bit more.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman, and I agree. All your staff do a great job. And so in response to comments from credit committee and work with the developer, kudos to the developer, too, to
yes.
quickly come together to make changes that I think make sure that we are providing the level of subsidy needed to make this deal financially feasible, but not over-subsidizing it, and making sure development developer fee policy is consistent, as Ann said. So we are very pleased with the changes made, and able to go forward now with it.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, for accomplishing this all so rapidly, including the developer, once again. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, we will call the vote. Corey.
This is Corey Myers speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of firm approval of financing for Copley Chambers 2 and 3 in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing all ayes, the motion is approved. Thanks.
All right, great.
Chairman,
please.
I have to step away. My deputy will.
Thank you, Treasurer. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Rob, please go ahead and step on up. Once again, thank you, Treasurer Yosa, and Corey, I'm going to ask you to recognize Rob as he is seated.
Thank you. Recognizing Commissioner Designee Rob Craven, stepping in at 10:39 a.m. Thank you.
Perfect. We're up to board action number 16, and this is authorization to issue tax exemptions to support construction of Copley Chambers 2 and 3, $23 million. To Ann. Guessed it.
This will be my shortest description for the project that has the most paper attached to it.
Yes.
This is the companion RFA to the firm approval that we just discussed, and this action is requesting authorization to enter into a tax-exempt private placement back-to-back loan structure with Citizens Bank to fund the loan for Copley Chambers 2 and 3, and upon completion, the loan will be assumed by Newmark with a Freddie Mac credit enhancement. Happy to answer any questions.
I'll take the motion. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Moved. Is there a second?
Seconded. Robert Craven.
Moved and seconded. Thank you, Rob. Any questions? Hearing none, Corey, please for the vote.
This is Corey Myers. All those in favor of authorizing the issuance of a tax-exempt loan to support the construction of Copley Chambers 2 and 3 in the amount of $23 million, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Hearing all ayes, the motion is approved.
Terrific. Up to Board Action 17, Approval of Development of Affordable Housing 2 Program Funding Awards and.
Thank you. So the development of Affordable Housing 2, which has been known as the ARPA Production Fund, as well as the Rhode Island Rebound Production Fund, is funded with the state local fiscal recovery funds, and it is designated for production of affordable housing for households with incomes at or below 80% of area median income. And I will note that the $75 million earmark for this program really was the mainstay of the recent consolidated RFP that we issued. For the record, we received 31 applications seeking $99 million, and we are recommending 15 projects in 11 different communities with approximately $57 million of awards. These development of affordable housing funds, as Carol mentioned, funding more than 1,000 units for households, and I will note that 348 of these will be for households with incomes below 30% of AMI, which is really terrific. So in the interest of time, and because we've discussed 11 of the projects that receive funding, I'm going to simply list the awards and limit any project-related comments to the four projects that we haven't actually discussed yet. So we're recommending $6 million for Rosebrook Commons, $1,460,000 for Central Street, $5 million for South Point Commons, $6,860,000 for Reynolds Farm Senior Housing 2, $1,500,000 for Copley Chambers 2 and 3, $5,800,000 for Broad Street Homes, $4 million for Summer Street, $4,010,000 for Lockwood Plaza, $5,550,000 for Ade Pathoon House, $4,550,000 for Potter's Tigray Apartments, and $3,874,000 for the Avenue. In addition, we are recommending a set-aside for Pawcatchet Reserve, which is a 275-unit new construction rental development of 2- and 3-bedroom apartments in Tiverton. 25% of the units must be affordable to households at or below 80% of AMI as required by zoning. Phase one will consist of 129 new units, and 32 of them will be affordable. This is a property that is served by town water, and we're proposing an award of $640,000 for 32 units. The next one is Ralph A. Russo, which is an existing 22-unit housing development located in Johnston. Originally constructed in 1990, it has had little investment since and is in need of substantial rehabilitation. The 22 units are subsidized by a project-based voucher contract, and we are recommending approval of $2,100,000, and we expect to bring Ralph A. Russo to firm commitment in the next couple of months. The villages at Manville, you may recall this is a 72-unit new construction project in Lincoln. Dakota Partners is the developer. 8 units will serve households with incomes below 30% of AMI, 57 units at 60%, and the remaining 15 units at 80%. Since preliminary commitment, rising interest rates and rising construction costs did create a gap. There was significant value engineering, and the town of Lincoln has also committed some funds, but we are recommending $1,728,817 for villages at Manville, and we expect this project will come back to the board in a couple of months and close by late September. The last one is Mill Race, which is a 70-unit development in Woonsocket. You may recall that Mill Race received firm approval of financing in June of 2022. However, subsequent to that firm approval, the developer encountered a couple of issues with their state historic credits. One was recent legislation which imposed Davis-Bacon, which would have increased costs beyond the value of the credits. And they also had a placed in service deadline of 2023, which they're not going to be able to meet. So the developer is seeking DAH2 funds to replace the state historic credits that were initially included in the capital stack. So we're recommending an amount of $4 million. And this will be contingent upon completion and closing no later than August 31st of this year. So in summary, we are requesting $57,072,817 of DAH funds for 15 separate projects. Thank you.
Very much appreciated. May I take a motion?
So moved.
It's like the pairing here of moving and seconding, however you see fit, Corey.
Yes.
All right. Questions or comments?
Just one, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
And on the, this is Riley Connaughton from the Department of Administration. On the next three items, this is a more general question. The strict obligation deadline for these funds, could you speak to the process that's in place to obligate the rest of the funds, or if a project changes to?
I'll let James answer that.
Sure. This is James Comer. Thank you, Commissioner. Sure. We obviously are awarding a historic amount of funds, largely SFRF dollars today, and that gives us ample time to get those funds committed and spent. We anticipate that the remainder of the funds will be awarded in the next comprehensive round, which should be in September, and that should, give us ample time to award all the funds prior to the 24 deadline and expend them prior to the 26 deadline. Should there be some circumstance where a project does not go forward or we have to recapture some of the funds, we're able to quickly turn around another round to get those out the door so that they'll, most important thing, get them all committed by 24. And then if we have concerns about a deal's timeline, We intend to work with the developers at that point to structure the deal so that the SFRF dollars come in first and meet the expenditure deadline of 2026.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Good question, good answer. Any others? Hearing none, Corey.
Certainly. This is Corey Myers, and I'll note that Maria Berry has signaled her intent to recuse. Is that correct?
Yes.
All those in favor of the approval of development of affordable housing 2 program funding awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 6 affirmative votes and the 1 recusal, the motion is approved.
Okay, we're up to board action item 18, approval of new income program funding awards. And I'll turn it over to you, Ann. And Ann, can you just explain, we've shifted in effect from project specific to categorical approvals. Could you just explain for the audience what's going on and proceed?
I will do my best. So many of the projects, the first 11 or 12 items on the agenda were project specific, and they were brought as individual board meetings because we were either authorizing 9% tax credits or tax-exempt bond financing. So it's important to have a project-specific board action. Many of them are using these various funds, and it just seemed to be much more efficient to include those in one board action and try and keep the preliminary approvals specific to the financing. I will note that all of these approvals are essentially preliminary. They will be subject to obviously firm approval by us if we're the lender, or completion of their capital stack if they're using another lender. So,
thank you for that.
Sure. So the middle income program, also funded by the state and local fiscal recovery funds, is earmarked for production of housing for households with incomes between 80 and 120% of area median income. It's also available for both rental and home ownership. One of the key criteria for this program is that 20% of the units in the development must provide housing for households with incomes at or below 100% of AMI. So there are some specific benchmarks that need to be met for these projects. So we're recommending approval of 7 proposals in the amount of $9,470,000. This is going to support 447 units, of which 132 will be designated as middle income. And to expedite things, I will focus comments primarily on projects not discussed, but we are recommending preliminary approval for Rosebrook Commons, $960,000, which will support 13 middle income units. At Central Street, $1,510,000, which will support 19 middle-income units. The Studley Building, the developer is Joe Paolino, and I note that Joe is here today.
Welcome, Mayor Paolino.
The Studley Building previously received workforce housing funds for 14 units, which are deed-restricted. They are now seeking to convert an additional 34 units at the Studley Building into middle-income units, which will be earmarked for residents with incomes below 100% of AMI. The middle-income award is $2,090,000, and because this project is complete, the funds will be dispersed as the developer income certifies the residents as they come in. The last one is East Point. The developer is Noble Development. The developer is proposing to construct a total of 100 apartments in 2 phases, 50 apartments each in East Providence. We are proposing a middle income award for phase 1, which is the development of 50 units, of which 12 will be middle income, and this will serve households with incomes up to 100% of AMI, and we are recommending $960,000. And this is contingent upon completion of the developer's capital stack, as we're not the senior lender, and we expect construction will start within 9 months of this award. Walker Loss, the developer is Odin Properties, and I noticed that Justin Kaplan is here. To reconstruct a historic blighted mill complex in Lincoln. The development will consist of 126 total units, of which 32 or 25% will be for households at 80% of area median income. And we are recommending $2,230,000, again, conditional upon the completion of the capital stack and construction start within 9 months. Georgiaville Place, this is a newly constructed 9-unit home ownership development, condominiums in Smithfield. The developer is recommending, is developing 2 units at 100% and 3 units at 120%. And we are recommending $400,000, which is the maximum amount eligible for these 5 units. And they will be, these funds will be dispersed upon the sale of each unit to the income qualified buyer. And the last award is to The Avenue, which we previously discussed, $1,320,000 for 17 units. So in total, we are seeking approval of $9,470,000 of middle-income funds for 7 developments.
Thank you, Ann. Entertain a motion.
Kevin Orth.
Move to approve. Kevin, is there a second?
Second. Steve McAllister.
Steve seconds. This is an important program. I'll kick off with one question, if I may, Ann. What's the understanding of readiness to proceed across these projects in this particular set?
I believe under this program, they have to get to closing or have their capital stack completed within 9 months.
Yeah.
As we noticed, some of these are in early stages and just receiving preliminary commitment. In other cases, we have a completed building. So, and in the case of Walker Loft, we know that this is the last money in to complete their capital stack, so they'll be able to move on to construction. So it's sort of all over the place.
Okay. And I know that there's been some questions about programmatic parameters in some instances around our programming related to middle income. Any particular points that still stand out with developers who are saying, I'm going to evaluate on the basis of the award?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Everyone's saying they're good if they receive this tranche?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. In this case, this money does complete the capital stack.
Yes.
Yes.
James, were you going to say something?
No, I was going to say this, you know, this program, like the workforce development program before it, is great because we do work with a different group of developers that we haven't traditionally been able to access. That they, the type of development they generally do is not what we do. So this is a nice way to get to work with some folks that operate more in the market world but are, you know, understand the housing crisis in the state and want to help with that in exchange for working with us. You know, we're very excited about being able to build some new partnerships and see how it goes going forward.
I commend you on doing it. Other questions from commissioners?
This is Kevin. I have one comment that, as Ann mentioned, it's a quote for rental as well as home ownership. And I'd just like to highlight one project, the Georgiaville Place, which is, I believe it's getting about $80,000 per housing unit of subsidy. The discount to those earning 100% of their median income should be about $129,000, and to those earning up to 120% should be more about $7,000. So I think we're definitely getting the subsidy to the homeowners here, which is great to see.
It is. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, this is Board Action 18 on the Middle Income Program. Over to you.
Yes, this is Corey Meyer speaking, and Commissioner Berry has expressed her intent to recuse. Is that correct? All those in favor of the approval of the income program funding awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With the recusal and 6 ayes, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Item 19, approval of CRP, the Community Revitalization Program funding awards. You guessed it, Ann.
Coming to the end here. So the CRP program, also funded with state fiscal recovery funds for production of affordable housing for households below 80% of AMI, and I will note that these funds are limited to projects that are in what are called qualified census tracts, so certain communities specifically. We are recommending 10 proposals in the amount of $16 million. $413,250. Mill rate $500,000. We've talked about that one before. Central Street, $2 million. Copley Chambers 2 and 3, $2 million. Broad Street Homes, $2 million. Summer Street, $1.9 million. Walker Lofts, which we just discussed, $2 million. Potter's Tigray, $2 million. The Avenue, $2 million. And a small project called 24 Inkerman that Sojourner House is going to do for $175,000, and they will produce basically substantially rehabilitate a three-story home located in Providence. The other award under this program is Vernon Mills, $1,838,250. This is a historic mill in Woonsocket with 60 units. Similar to the issue we discussed for Millrace and the state historic credits, the developer has requested this amount to basically swap out for the state historic credits, which were triggering Davis-Bacon and pretty much devalued the credits. So we are anticipating bringing Vernon Mills to firm approval next month. So this funds complete its capital stack. So in total, we are requesting $16,413,250 in community revitalization funds for 10 separate projects. Happy to answer any questions.
I'll take a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. The items before us, questions on the CRP item? Hearing none, let's go to the vote. Corey.
Thank you. This is Corey speaking. And Commissioner Berry has indicated her intent to recuse, correct? Commissioners, all those in favor of the approval of Community Revitalization Program funding awards, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With six affirmative votes and the one recusal, the motion is approved.
Good. On to item 20, approval of capital magnet fund awards. Ann.
Thank you. So Rhode Island Housing has received four capital magnet fund grants, which come from the CDFI. Our most recent award was $12 million. The program has specific priorities for extremely low-income and very low-income units, as well as developments in qualified census tracts. And this does limit the number of projects that ultimately are eligible for CMF funds. We did receive 17 proposals requesting more than $15 million. We're proposing funding for seven projects in the amount of $3,316,000. Ralph A. Russo, $400,000. Central Street, $250,000, Lockwood Plaza, $990,000, Copley Chambers, 2 and 3, $750,000, Potter's Tigray, $250,000, Ade Bethune, $200,000, and the Avenue, $476,000. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Take a motion.
So moved, Robert Freeman.
Okay.
Second.
Second, Riley Connison.
Thank you, Riley. Questions or comments? All right, to the vote on item 20, Capital Magnet Fund Awards. Corey.
Certainly. This is Corey speaking. And Commissioner Berry has indicated her intent to recuse. Is that correct?
Yes.
All those in favor of the approval of Capital Magnet Fund Awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With six affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Very good. On to item 21, approval of Housing Production Fund, Extremely Low Income Operating Reserve, HBF ELI Awards. Michael.
Happy to jump in and give Anna a break.
Happy to take it.
How about that?
This is Michael DiCaro. I'm presenting a request for approval of Housing Production Fund, Extremely Low Income Operating Reserve Awards, or HBF ELI. By way of background, the Housing Production Fund was established in 2021 to provide funding for the planning, production, and preservation of affordable housing. Rhode Island Housing was authorized by the General Assembly to administer the HBF program funds. The enabling legislation specifically establishes a priority for households either exiting homelessness or earning not more than 30% of area median income. The Rhode Island Housing Resources Commission, working together with Rhode Island Housing, established program guidelines for the HBF ELI program to support units serving households earning 30% AMI or below. Funds will be awarded to capitalize project operating reserves to ensure that developers can create and preserve affordable rental housing for families and individuals with very low income, including those who are homeless or at risk of being homeless. These funds will bridge the gap between residents' ability to pay 30% of their gross household income and the established 50% low-income housing tax credit rent for the applicable unit size. Last November, Rhode Island Housing issued a request for proposals for HBF ELI funds as part of the consolidated funding round. We received 12 proposals requesting approximately $8.5 million in HBF ELI funds. Staff has reviewed the applications and recommends funding 7 HBF ELI proposals in the amount of $4,589,280. These awards will support 62 newly created 30% AMI residential units for 15 years. Staff will continue its review of the and analysis of the remaining applications and expects to bring additional awards for support at a later date. All of these developments have been discussed in detail previously, so I'll just provide a summary of our proposed awards. And again, these are all sized for 15 years of support. Commons, 13 units for an award of $1,022,580. South Point Commons, 16 units, $1,134,720. Ada Bethune House, 6 units, $471,960. Broad Street Homes, also 6 units, $474,300. Potter's T. Gray Apartments, 5 units, $378,360. Reynolds Farm Senior Housing, 11 units for $716,760. And The Avenue, 5 units for $390,600. Answer any questions.
Well done, Michael, and thank you for mixing it up here. Appreciate it very much. I'll entertain a motion, if I may. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Is there a second?
Seconded, Rob Craven.
Moved and seconded. Questions, commissioners?
I have a clarifying question. Michael, so as I understand it, we are subsidizing the difference between a 50% AMI rent level and a 30% AMI rent level. But it's not an income-based program. Is that correct?
Correct. It's sized based on the difference between the 30 and the 50. It will be awarded in quarterly increments based on that gap. Developers may have folks that go above that 30% once they have moved in after they've established themselves. So it's not being analyzed on income.
Thank you. Other questions? This is the HPF ELI item 21. Corey, to the vote if you would.
Yes, this is Corey speaking. On this item, Commissioner Barry's indicated her intent to recuse, correct? All those in favor of the approval of Housing Production Fund Extremely Low Income Operating Reserve Awards as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 6 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Item 22, approval of ARPA Pre-Development Program to James to keep things interesting.
Thank you. This is James Comer. This request for action is for the authorization to establish and implement the ARPA Pre-Development Program, which is a $10 million program funds SFRF dollars through U.S. Treasury and is intended to fund developers engaging in activities to determine the feasibility of a potential project and to help expedite it through the pre-development phase to an application phase where they could apply for permanent financing. In December of 2022, in collaboration with the Department of Housing and the State Pandemic Recovery Office, Rhode Island Housing was authorized to administer $10 million of these funds under the following program guidelines. This will be a grant program to developers with grant limits of $100,000 for projects with total development costs below $1 million and up to $250,000 for program costs for projects with total development costs over $1 million. We anticipate that given the pipeline that we know exists, this will help qualified developers move projects quicker through the pre-development phase, save them some upfront costs, and get us better projects quicker.
Thank you, James. I'll take a motion.
So moved, Ray Barry.
Moved. Is there a second?
Seconded, Bradley Compton.
Any questions? This is the APP item, which is number 22, ARPA Pre-Development Program, to Corey for the vote.
This is Corey speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of the approval of the ARPA pre-development program as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote.
All right. Item 23, we're going to mix it up yet again. This is authority to issue homeownership opportunity bonds, and the presenter is Kara. Welcome, Kara, and please.
Thank you. This is Kara LaChapelle. This request for action is for authority to issue homeownership opportunity bonds, which is our single-family bond resolution for first-time home buyers. Our last bond issue was executed in February for approximately $135 million, and we expect to go through those proceeds by the end of June. Based on our production estimates and our current pipeline, we anticipate the need for $400 million of bonds in the next 12 to 18 months, and that would be both taxable and tax-exempt bonds that we would be issuing. I'm happy to answer any questions.
I'll entertain a motion.
Moved.
Is there a second?
Second, Mr. Stephen Counselor.
This is our last business item, so if you have questions, make them good. are there questions? Hearing none. Corey, take this final vote.
Absolutely. This is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of authorizing the issuance of homeownership opportunity bonds in the amount of $400 million, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote. Thank you.
Carol, I'm sure it's hard to believe, but it looks like we are through the agenda. Business items, are we correct that we are?
You are, Chairman. I'd like to take a minute to thank my team here and also all of you for having the stamina. And I want to recognize those that didn't flee when they could. This represents, on their behalf, weeks, months, years of work to bring these projects forward. I want to thank them for their partnership, and let's get shovels in the ground tomorrow. Thank you, Chris.
I know you join me in saying it's not overdoing it to once again thank Carol and Sherp, and to once again thank the professional staff of Rhode Island Housing for all this hard work. Really remarkable. It is a significant step forward. And to all the developers and partners, thank you very much. There is no further business, and I would like to request a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion?
So moved.
There's an unanimous motion. There's an unanimous second. Corey, you've noted someone for the motion.
Yes, I have.
Someone for the second?
I have. Thank you. This is Corey speaking. All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With that, the motion's approved. Thank you.
Congratulations and thank you to all.